Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 13, lucky number 13 of MMA to the Max. I am your host, Robert Taylor, and I am joined this week once again. Thank you for coming back, especially after that horrible episode last week. Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Riverside Joe. What's up, cousin?
What's up, my man?
How's your week been, man?
It was a real good week all around, work and whatnot, and I'm just glad to be back. Did I apologize last weekend? Long story short, I have a family member who is dealing with cancer. So we were spending time with them on Sunday. Not to you know, make it sad or whatever. She's a grandmother. She's been around a great long time, but you still want to value those moments with them. So I apologize to the fans for not being here, but I think you guys all understand. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, with that type of situation, though, I don't think you really have anything to apologize for. Aside from allowing me to do the show on my own.
I tried, man, with all of my ability to get here. It's important to me and the fan and you to be on time. Yeah. But I appreciate it, man. You did. You put in a good effort. Had you known, you know, it wasn't going to work out earlier, I'm sure you would have done even better. But you did all right, dude. It's hard.
Yeah,
to
if
do
I had more
yourself.
Practice, it probably would have been fine. But I was sitting there reading some news bits and everything and giving my opinion on it. And, and that was it. I had nobody else like, wait, no, your opinion's wrong. Now, I'm used to being correct. So, but at least people challenge me on it. And this time nobody challenged me. So it was a little weird.
Look, as far as tonight is concerned, I'm the rightest of the right. Like, I win, right? Just so we're all aware, I came in ninth overall in all the UFC pick'ems tonight.
That's oh, really? First for me. You placed ninth on the entire for this event.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good, dude. The only fight I missed was Cody
Stammen and Tom Dukiwad.
Dookie Wad. Dookie Wad to win the fight. I thought he'd be able to use his distance, his jab, you know, the things that I love in fighting. But no, dude, hats off to Cody on that one. He was able to pressure him, push forward, walk right through his distance, and. You know, that's the only fight that I lost, other than the two draws tonight. Two majority draws.
We
that's
count
weird
those,
split.
But at least with the UFC fantasy thing, though, that's what sucks, is it does ruin a perfect if you were working on one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but
while we're on that fight real quick, let's just talk about the fact that Cody Stamen was very underlooked, or no, I'm sorry, overlooked going into this fight because of the Fire Kids hype. Everybody forgot that he was on a 9-fight win streak going into this fight, and they just thought he was going to be a stepping stone. Nah, his wrestling handled it, so hats off to him.
Not just his wrestling, his striking was great too. Like he stood in the pocket with him. He traded. He got inside the boxing range. I mean, dude, he proved that he was not. I mean, his wrestling is definitely what won him the fight, but his stand up was nothing to bat an eye at or whatever. You know, he fucking did a really good job.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. One of the judges gave it a 29-28 for Fire Kid, and I easily had it Stamen 29-28. I don't see how one judge can even give two rounds to Tama Dhiskwa. So
100% agree with you.
Whatever.
On that.
Judging was weird. That even on those draws where we agreed that the fights should have been scored a draw and they were rightly scored a draw, some of the judging was really weird.
But Venata 30?
Yeah.
Did he really win that third round? The second round was kind of close. The second round for
It was definitely a weird night for judging. It was one of those situations, though, where the result was correct, so can we be really that mad? But at the same time, yeah, we can, because the judging was ridiculous. The scores.
You got
the right result, but the scores leading up to it was just horrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, do the ends justify the means? Well, not really. I mean, yeah, the means were accurate, but the ends weren't, because both of them were split where one, and then one of the judges had a draw.
Yeah, so it was just a
weird. Two judges should have had a draw. It should have been a majority draw. You know what I mean? It should have been a technical draw or whatever they call it, where there's the two splits and a draw. Like it shouldn't have been that. It should have been two draws and maybe one of the judges saw it another way. But for one judge to see it one way, one judge to see it the other way, and then the one judge to see a draw.
Well, see,
both of them like that.
See, that's the part that doesn't really bother me so much. It's just the it's how they scored it. If you see it for one fighter and the other one sees it for the other fighter, and then one scores it a draw. And that's really how the fight went down. That's fine. And we're going to talk about this fight we're kind of alluding to right now. But before we do that, let's just talk about the main attraction of the show, the GOAT.
Dude, I'm sitting here at home with my family. We're watching this, and my wife's into the sport. She watches it with me. The kids are watching it. A little Facebook post there of my youngest, my almost 2-year-old, had his little dukes up, and he was throwing punches. It was so cute. But I'm just trying to break down, like, look at how he's doing that. Like, he's not in a bad position. Every time he gives up his back or does something, he's already thinking three steps ahead on how to move. I mean, my wife was kind of giving up on my ramblings, but I'm like, dude, he's got this fight won in the fifth round. I'm like, he's got this one. It's like he could rest on his laurels. He's fine. But is that what he did?
I've never seen anybody give zero fucks in a fight like that. Mighty Mouse... It seemed like he put minimal effort into this fight and still dominated and finished him. His facial expressions never changed.
They don't. He's a true ninja.
He's ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. He's a true ninja.
Dude,
Ray Borg's a stud.
Fuck yeah,
he is the future of the flyweight division.
Fuck yeah, he is. Until Shorty gets there.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I hope so. But, I mean, there's just no beating Mighty Mouse. There is no beating Mighty Mouse. And I stand by that fact, and I have stood by that fact for well before we started doing this podcast. And I'm
going to
stand by that fact when he faces the winner of Cody and TJ. I'm going to stand by the fact that nobody's beating Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson.
I think he, and I'm going to maybe speak a little bit in hyperbole, I think he runs through Cody. I think TJ gives him a more difficult fight, regardless of the outcome of who they are, who you think is going to win between Cody and TJ. That's a different stylistic matchup. But I think a guy like Cody, he relies too much on his boxing, is too stationary. And I think that's where a guy like DJ is going to shoot in and out. He's going to take him down, and he's going to work him up on the ground at will. And that's where I think someone who moves as much and changes stances and is a little bit more elusive and fluid with their movement, like TJ, similar to how Dominic Cruz. Yeah, and again, Dominic Cruz beat a much younger, completely different, and not dedicated DJ. But I think that, I don't know, I think that'd be a tougher fight for him. Just like, you know, I'm bouncing around here, but just like I think that if Kevin Lee won tonight, you'd see Conor McGregor fight Kevin Lee. Conor don't want Ferguson.
He don't. I'm gonna be honest. Judging by some of the striking skills that Kevin Lee put out there tonight, I'm pretty sure Conor wouldn't even want Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're sure we can jump in this fight real quick, but let's not discredit Kevin Lee. He walked into that fight with an obvious staph infection going down on his chest.
And a horrible weight cut, and part of that would have been the staph infection.
Easily. And he put it on Tony in the first round, man.
He did. And I'm not taking anything away from Kevin. I know when the fight was first announced, I was you know, all over the El Kikui bandwagon. I always will be. I've been a big fan of him. He's a Southern California native like myself. So, I kind of ride my local guys. But El Kikui gets hit. He gets pieced. He gets hurt. But the thing is he's the goddamn T-1000? Like, you shoot him and he, you know, just walks
the
right through
Terminator,
it. Yeah, you freeze him.
Good old
you shoot
Robert
him.
Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. He just doesn't stop. He's like a fluid Gaethje. You know what I mean?
He's like what Gaethje, Floyd Mayweather did to Conor McGregor. Ha! Throwback.
A little bit, dude. I'm not the one who keeps bringing this fight up that we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah, I did that just for one person this week.
Okay, you had to bring it in, but I had that fight picked as a perfect. I figured it'd be a third round submission. I honestly, God, thought it would be the El Kikui snap jitsu Darce choke, but no, I got him with the triangle. Fucking beautiful jujitsu display on many fights tonight.
That's Tim Planet jujitsu right there, man. Eddie Bravo, for as crazy as that dude is with his conspiracy theories, he's one of the best in the entire world.
One of the best in the entire world. I mean, he was the first guy who really decided to dedicate himself as a coach at no-gi jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wasn't the first, but he was the first to do it well, the first to be on that big platform. But he is strictly a no-gi guy.
And I don't know if some of our younger listeners remember this, but Eddie Bravo used to be the boxing equivalent, or the UFC equivalent of the I forgot the guy's name right now in boxing who would give the round by round scores for Showtime and everybody.
Yeah, the
Eddie
old
Bravo
senile
used to
gentleman.
Do that. What's up?
The old senile gentleman now for
yeah,
Showtime
exactly.
Boxing?
Eddie Bravo used to do that for every fight in the UFC. He used to give round by round scores, and I actually kind of missed that. So,
yeah, Bellator still does it, but UFC for whatever reason got away from it. I think maybe because as the judges were different than the way they were scoring it, it was creating too much of a pseudo-controversy with the fans, maybe.
Well, that, and it also, when you don't have the scores shown up there, it creates tension.
That's true.
Excitement.
That's true.
Mystery. You know, all those things that sell, that people crave. So.
Yeah, but I think the way the UFC is doing it now, at least you got guys like Joe and DC who are well-versed in the game. They're scoring it, and they're telling you why they scored it that way. And speaking of the
how
way
good
things
was
were,
DC? How good was DC?
DC was great. He and Joe had a great chemistry together, and
they
and
have
I'm
a
glad
rapport,
that,
man. That's just it's so natural.
They're like pals. Yeah,
exactly. I loved it.
I liked it when Rogan was saying that that ATT probably has one of the greatest gyms, MMA gyms, and DC's like, whoa, you can't say that in front of me. And you got to give Anik credit, give credit where credit due. And it's like, well, maybe at AK they spar a little too hard too often.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I caught that. I thought it was great.
That was great on Anik, man. He did a good job. He was definitely outclassed by those two and their relationship and rapport. He did a good job at the third mic. I would have liked to hear a little bit more out of him, but not bad, dude. It was good announcing all the way around.
Yeah, and Anik, I'm a big fan of Anik.
100%.
He's definitely better than Mike Goldberg, in my opinion. I was never really a big fan of Goldberg. I think they did him dirty, Goldberg.
They did him very dirty.
Yeah, but I still thought Anik, as soon as he was hired on, was the better announcer and the more knowledgeable announcer compared to Mike Goldberg. So
yeah, I agree. That's why I was worried when Todd Grisham came on board. I'm like, really? Why is Todd? You've already got Anik. Yeah, Grisham's last show wasn't so bad, but he always ends up saying something. I'm going to use the word stupid because it's pretty fucking stupid, and he gets called out by his, you know, his co-host because they're fighters next to him.
Yeah,
these are alpha males. They're not going to let you say something dumb and just get away with it. And he seems like a nice guy, but I think he's a little out of his element.
As opposed to what I do with you, let you say something dumb and get away with it all the time.
Dude, I just have to say scoreboard for tonight's game, dude. That's all.
as opposed to the scoreboard for the last couple of years. Okay.
Yeah, that's right, dude. That's right.
Oh, shit. As I open this bottle,
yeah,
we completely skipped over our beer of the week.
We rambled, but that's fine.
We did. That's fine. I mean, it was a little, we had a lot of segues. We had a lot of room there to continue moving on. Anyways.
What are you brought to us by?
Yeah, the Robert Taylor side of MMA to the Max this week is brought to you by, once again, the old MMA to the Max classic favorite, Stone IPA. One of the best IPAs on the market. Not the best, because we did have the Broken Skull, but one of the best. Joe, what are you bringing to us this week?
I am drinking a Stone IPA variety 12-pack. As posted on our Instagram and Facebook account, I started off with a Hop Revolution IPA, got into the Ghost Head IPA from Stone, and God damn, dude, they don't miss. Like, honest to God, dude, sponsor us, or don't, fuck, because we're still gonna talk about how damn good you are. I know we had that Stone Cold IPA is delicious. It's definitely up there. One of my faves, that Broken Skull, was phenomenal. But the IPAs from Stone are a phenomenal go-to if you like a good hoppy beer. They've got ones that are full of Citra hops that are going to give you that, you know, a little bit sweeter taste, a little grapefruity taste. They've got ones that are full of Cascade hops that are going to be more well-rounded and bitter. Like, they just know how to make a good hoppy beer. On that note, you guys can hear this right here. Cracking open another one. Cheers. Cheers, cousin.
Yeah. Cheers, brother. I was going to say, yeah. I know we're cousins, but cheers, brother.
We are. We basically
unfortunately,
are
Stone doesn't really put out sponsors like that, so I don't know why we keep drinking their fucking beers.
Right. Because a Bud Light does, and I won't fucking drink it.
Yeah, actually, I think it's funny. I think it's I think it's Coors or Miller. One of those companies. They will sponsor you. For $1, I think, as long as you sign an agreement to drink nothing but their beer. And I said, yeah, not worth it.
Yeah, my soul is worth a lot more than $1.
Yeah, my palate is worth way more than being able to say, yeah, we're sponsored by Coors. I will drink Coors from time to time. I've mentioned that on the show. If I'm at a certain place, you know, a person's residence that drinks Coors. But it's definitely not going to be my beer of the week.
Yeah, I won't. Honest to God, I've been at buddies' houses, and they're like, hey, man, you know, you want a beer? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they toss me a Coors. I mean, I'll drink it. I won't be disrespectful, but I'm not going back for a second.
No, that's fine, man. And more power to you. I had somebody accuse me of being a PBR hipster, and the only thing I argued about was the fact that I've never touched a sip of PBR in my entire life.
Dude, fuck Heineken.
Yeah. You could call me a hipster all you want, but don't accuse me of drinking PBR. And that's Pabst Blue Ribbon for anybody that doesn't know anagrams. Acronyms.
Yeah, sorry. Anagrams wrong. Yeah, acronym. But
corrected myself.
You know what? That's fine. At least you don't use the wrong words in your posts. Attempt, right. Attend, whatever. It's happening. Thanks, Doug. Whatever. Thanks for calling that out for me. And at least I was able to fix on the Facebook post.
Yeah, right.
I blame that on my iPhone autocorrect. I started typing again and it filled it out for me.
I know. I saw it on the post and I was like, well, I can edit this.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, and Doug had to rub it in. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. That's what family's for.
Well, let's talk about the main event of the night, Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee. We talked about it a little bit a couple of minutes ago. Obviously, anybody that watched it or is reading about it saw that Tony Ferguson defeated Kevin Lee with a beautiful triangle choke submission. Kevin Lee looked great in that fight. He's only 25 years old. He is a future champion in my mind. That's for damn sure.
I agree with that completely. Honestly, I see him, Tony Ferguson, and if he ever decides to stop eating tiramisu, Nurmagomedov as the top three in the lightweight division right now. You can try to argue with me all day long, but you're wrong. Because I think all three of them can beat, Captain Vacate or fight.
I absolutely agree, and I would go even farther as to say that top five in that division. forgot the rank in right now.
You got Gaethje in there, and then you've got
I would put Justin Gaethje, if he could survive the punches, can beat him.
That's a big if, though, because I mean Gaethje puts that guard up, but I can agree with you. If he can survive the power, he could. Alvarez obviously couldn't.
Yeah, and even Nate Diaz, who I think is ranked like 6 or 7 right now.
6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah, can beat him because he's already done it. Granted, he's at 170 pounds, but he's got the style and the skills to beat him. But aside from all that, man, Tony Ferguson had the line of the night, and I know he's been saying it all over social media, but he got to say it on a microphone. Finally, after all this time, and I've been saying it to everybody for the longest time as well, Tony, we're soulmates here. We're bro-mates. Defend or vacate, motherfucker.
I cannot agree more. Look, I'm not the one to use the word dick rider. It's not necessarily in my lexicon, my vocabulary. It's not what I say. But I'm definitely a fan of Conor McGregor and the way he fights. 100% a fan of him and his fighting style. But he has never once in the history of his fighting career defended a belt. He was a two-division champ at Cage Warriors in the UK. Never defended his belt. He became a flyweight champ in the UFC. Didn't defend that belt. UFC gave him the ability to come up and fight and become the 155-pound champ. Has not defended that belt. I don't believe he ever will.
I believe he will. I mean, if he comes back to the UFC, that's the question. I believe he will, but it's not going to be against Tony Ferguson, Khabib Nurmagomedov, or even if it was Kevin Lee that won tonight. It's going to be against Nate Diaz. That's the only fight he's coming back for, and then he's retired.
You know what? I guess you just fucking basically WWE this thing, and nothing against Diaz, but he is not in a position.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mission to fight for the belt. He's number 7.
He's not, you know, at all. You're right.
If he were to take a fight in the next couple months against a top 5 guy, even an Alvarez, Gaethje, and I'm just saying, if he took a fight with them and beat them, let him fight a top 5 guy and beat them, and then he has rightfully fought his way to a title shot. If it's simply to make money, I'm gonna watch all the fights, and I'm gonna be having a good time and enjoying it. But I'm still gonna feel like it's a bit of a shoot. The whole fucking championship belt is a shoot.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that, man.
It's a total work. It's all a work. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a work. I'm gonna watch all the fights regardless. I was totally against the Mayweather and Conor fight. I still watched it. Granted, I didn't pay a dime for it. Thank you for
that,
by the way.
I did. It was over $100.
Yeah.
And I bought food and barbecued for everybody that came over to the house, and I had extra beer and drinks. You're welcome.
I thank you very much for it. We know why you did that, you know, for me, why I didn't have to pay anything, but we're not going to get into that. At least that's what your wife let me know. So I was like, okay, that's even. That makes sense. Okay.
Steven.
Yeah, we're even Stevens on that, man. But yeah, dude, I personally think Conor McGregor's style is exciting. He's a great fighter. I think he's not a little. He's very overrated in terms of his fighting style, because most of his fights are already won before he even steps into the cage, because he gets into people's heads. The one person in MMA, in the UFC, that he wasn't able to get in the head of, Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
Handled him the first time and arguably beat him the second time. arguably, I know it could have gone either way. So I'm not going to bring up that argument for anybody that wants to listen. It could have gone either way. Now, Tony Ferguson and even Kevin Lee and Khabib Nurmagomedov, are they going to get rattled by Conor's shit-talking? I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. Especially Tony.
No, Tony doesn't.
Especially Khabib. Khabib's going to talk so much shit. Khabib is one of the most underrated shit-talkers in MMA.
Yeah, I'm done with Khabib, dude. Make weight.
I'm sorry, man. I said this to somebody just recently online. I'm an AKA guy. I have a soft spot for AKA, so I give them a lot of passes.
It's because you're trying to sleep with freaking Luke. That's all. You want some Rockhold.
I'm trying to get to know Luke so I can sleep with Demi.
Well, I don't think he's playing with that anymore.
Just kidding, babe. Love you.
No, AKA is yeah, they're a good gym. They're great guys. And I get it, dude. You know what, man? Like, I was on the Nurmagomedov bandwagon totally for him, but I really have issue with guys not being professional when it comes to making weight. Granted, he's never missed weight, but
he missed weight once.
You're right. He missed weight once, and he didn't miss against Tony last time. He ended up eating tiramisu and having his fucking kidneys fail. Ferguson came in underweight on purpose. Dude, he looked so good tonight. Yeah, he looked a little bit smaller, but his speed was there. After he got popped with a couple jabs, the head movement came in a little bit, but he proved a point to the whole division.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's fine. I get that you're not really banking on the Nurmagomedov bandwagon anymore because of that. That's fine. I don't think he ate the tiramisu at that time because he was like just trying to throw it in everybody's face. I'm pretty sure he thought he was just perfect for weight and it wasn't going to affect him. I think Khabib's still going to come back. And I think, obviously, he's not going to get the title fight. Unless they do, Conor comes back and they do Conor versus Diaz, which is what I think. Then I think Tony and Khabib is going to be the fight that happens for the interim title. On the exact same card as the lightweight title.
Huh?
Yeah, it's not going to be the first
time. You can't have an interim title in lightweight and then the actual title in lightweight on the same card.
Randy Couture versus Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir versus Antonio Nogueira begs to differ.
No, you can't do that.
Actually, I take that back. That was actually not on the same card, but it was less than a month apart from each other. You can do that.
I agree that was stupid. You can't have it in the same card because if Tony is ready to fight on, let's just call it March 13th.
It's an interim title. It means nothing. It's basically just you're the number one contender. All he's doing is putting the number one contendership up on the line.
But the point is once you've done that, you've now said, I'm the next guy to fight for the belt. So how could somebody else fight for the real belt before the interim champ does?
I don't know. Where's Robert Whittaker coming up in a couple weeks?
Okay. I knew you were going to say that. Robert Whittaker's on the DL.
There's a precedence, man.
He's on the DL. It's different. He can't defend himself.
The UFC, they don't give a fuck anymore. It's
W-M-E-I-N-G-Q-P-S-T-R. It's W-M-E-I-N-G-A-B-C-1-2-3.
So they don't care. They're trying to recoup their $4.2 billion purchase. They're trying to recoup that money as quick as possible.
I get it, but it just...
I don't agree with it, but come on, let's be real here. Do you think that they're gonna just give up on the opportunity of Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz Part 3 just to have Conor get his ass beat by Tony Ferguson? No,
Tony Ferguson beats Tony Ferguson. See, this is where it's tough. I think Tony Ferguson beats him, but Tony Ferguson does get punched. And that little motherfucking Irish dude's got power. Everybody said it. When he hits you, your game plan goes out the window. Everybody who's ever done it, or like Jose Aldo, you get hit and you wake up and there's no opportunity for game plan. The only people that haven't had to, you know, switch their game plan is Nate Diaz and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, those two guys, Tony's got a chin. He's got the iron chin. He's got the chin of fucking El Cucuy, man.
Yeah, he's got the Mexican chin, dude. He's got that Mexican pressure.
And not just that. He's not going to be beat before he walks into that cage. Aldo
was
beat.
He's not afraid of him.
He was completely beat, man. That fan that called him out at the presser beat him. Yeah, you've only been five rounds once and you lost.
Yeah, it's true.
He was mentally beat then. Tony's not going to get beat. He's going to stalk McGregor down. McGregor's going to try to counter him, but he's not going to be able to because he's not going to be used to Tony's unorthodox style.
Well, McGregor doesn't do well when he's fighting off his back foot. He doesn't fight well with pressure. He doesn't. Like, look at the same way that
McGregor's
got to
be the one that leads the dance. He's not going to lead the dance.
Yeah, I think you're the one that said he's a front runner. If he's not pushing forward, then he's losing.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly how he's been his entire fight, his entire career. And Nate Diaz proved it. Connor is the like I said, Connor. Like I said previously, Connor is a front runner fighter. So
yeah. Now, yeah, but we'll see, man. They fought for the red panties, and hopefully Tony Ferguson gets them because he deserves them.
So stamp it right now. October, what is it, 7th still? Is it after midnight? Nope, 11 o'clock. October 7th, 2017, Robert Taylor, MMA to the Max, says the next fights are going to be Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz 3, Tony Ferguson, Khabib Nurmagomedov for the interim title.
Hey, I hope it happens because we at MMA to the Max already predicted what was going to happen with the middleweight and middleweight interim belt, and that's the way it's going down, right?
These fights, man.
Yeah, UFC, are you just listening to us and you can start paying us or what? Like Sean Shelby, I'll work side by side with you. You can take the credit. I just like to scratch, dude. And I quit my day job and just do this.
Yeah, just pay us to book fights, man. You can get, I guarantee you, I will work for less money than you're paying Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I would. So, I make really good money at my day job right now.
Yeah, but you don't make, I guarantee you don't make Sean Shelby Mick Maynard money.
No.
And I will probably, I will take half of what they make because I'm pretty sure they make really good.
Yeah, they probably make more than twice you do.
But right, let's talk about the one of the other fights. Well, you know what? No, we're going to go back to the GOATs fight.
Of course.
We're going to go back to Mighty Mouse's fight real quick because we didn't even talk about the finish. Suplex City into an armbar, bitch.
Mid air. So Borg is getting suplexed. He's like, all right, shit, got to prepare to try to roll, to try to get – oh, what? Before I even hit the mat, I'm in a fucking armbar? Where did this come from? Who's done this to me before ever in the history of ever?
Yeah, this was ridiculous for this – and I jumped up like, oh, fuck, when I saw it happen. Oh, yeah. I as soon as he did that, even before the tap out, I was like, the fucking GOAT. He's the GOAT. And granted, I've been calling him the GOAT, but that just reaffirmed my statement and my thinking. What Mighty Mouse did was something straight out of professional wrestling. And I'm a pro wrestling fan, WWE and all that stuff. That's the only time you see shit like that happen. Even Joe Rogan said in the post fight, I don't see this MMA. You don't see this.
You don't.
That's something out of wrestling that they do in pro wrestling to make it look cool and make one of their pro wrestlers look like a legit shoot fighter. No. This was ridiculous. He picked him up for a German suplex. And in midair, transitioned to an armbar. Holy fuck, dude. That is ridiculous.
And not to mention just the sheer ridiculousness of that. He had been dominating four rounds. I gave at least two of those four rounds to Demetrius as 10-8s. I mean, dominating. A very game easily. Ray Borg, right? One of the things I was talking to my wife while the fight was going on was about in jiu-jitsu, first you learn to survive, then you learn to defend, then you learn to attack. Ray Borg was always either, for the most part, defending, but surviving. But for the most part, he was defending.
So
he was surviving. He was. I mean, Demetrius was all over everything he did. Demetrius could have just slammed him down, maintained top position, side control, and safely won the fight. But that's not what Demetrius does. We talk about Anderson Silva with his 10 wins. Anderson Silva, after a while, became a snooze fest, a very safe fighter, and it wasn't going for action, wasn't pursuing anybody, and he just allowed himself to win in the scorecards. Demetrius Johnson beat Ray Borg in the fifth round with a risky move in that armbar when he didn't need to. He beat was a Horiguchi with 2 seconds left in the fifth round.
Kiyoshi Horiguchi, yeah, with 1 second, actually. 4:59
in the fifth round. Left in the fifth round. He doesn't stop trying to finish the fight. Both of those fights in particular that I can think of right now, fifth round finishes, he didn't have to risk. He didn't have to go for a submission. He didn't need a finish. He could have laid on top of them, and he could have Jake Shielded the hell out of them and won the fight in the fifth round, but he still goes for the finish. Yet people want to give him shit for not being the GOAT. Fuck you, man. Anderson Silva, no offense to him, He was very safe. He played it very safe in a handful of fights, dude.
And I'm glad you bring that up. So I want to get into that real quick. I want to talk about that. Because I've always been a huge Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson fan. And I'm not trying to toot a horn or anything like that. Before he even was starting to defend a flyweight title, I had him sign one of my shirts at the UFC Expo. I asked him, can you sign it the pound-for-pound number one best fighter in the world, Demetrius Johnson? He said, I can't do that, man. I'm not the best.
Can't
I said,
do
yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's hanging in my closet. I'm very proud of it because it's prophetic. We're at this point now. There's no argument.
There's
now,
no
I know,
argument,
and
man.
I get a lot of people that don't appreciate him as a fighter because he's small. He's short. I get it as a casual fans, people that don't really follow the sport hardcore, don't want to watch people his size fight. I get it. I don't like it, and I don't agree with it, but I get it.
I don't get it.
But you cannot deny the man's skills, his talent, his technique. He is the greatest to ever put on those 4-ounce gloves. There is no argument in my mind that anybody can give to me to tell me that if you took Mighty Mouse and his skills, his transitions, his knowledge, his fight IQ, and made him 185 pounds, that he would not beat the fuck out of Anderson Silva in his prime. Nobody can tell me that that would not happen. I'm sorry.
He beats everybody. He's the pound-for-pound goat. After his last fight, I said that, and I tweeted out, pound-for-pound goat. He is the pound-for-pound greatest of all time. The best ever. He is the world's greatest.
It's a shame that people don't want to watch him fight. I hope that the suplex into the armbar starts going viral and makes its rounds.
I hope so. It should.
Help him? It should.
I'm going to push it. Yeah.
I mean, it's going around even in wrestling groups right now. They're like, oh my God, look at this. So
Rogan said it today as he finished his interview. You are the greatest fighter in the history of fighting of ever.
He is.
You know,
he is.
Even, in hand-to-hand combat without a weapon, he's the best.
I can't tell you how
ever.
Excited and happy I was that Bruce Buffer announced him as the number one pound for pound.
Yeah, that was awesome. I just wanted to hear him say the one and only because I know they listen. They did that whole promo.
That
whole
was a
Facebook
nice touch,
promo.
Though. That was a nice touch.
Oh, that was a beautiful touch, dude. The pound for pound.
Yeah.
He number one.
The number one pound for pound fighter in the world in the reigning. It was great, man. It was
I wanted
perfect.
Reigning, defending, and only lightweight champion because he deserves it, man. Like, I don't get why these people don't like the smaller fighters. It makes no sense to me.
I have a friend, a really good friend. He loves watching the fights. He put it to me like this. He can't get into a guy that is smaller than his 14-year-old. And I don't agree with it, but I get it. I get it. I do. As a casual fan. He can fight. My friend can
fight.
If
you can see the expression
on my face.
He's
not like, and he can fight on the street, but he's not like, and he loves watching UFC fights, but he doesn't follow it as a hardcore. So he's a casual fan. It's nothing to be ashamed of to be a casual fan. You know,
so he thinks
every
because
needs
he's 215
fans.
Pounds and he's a guy who can street fight, he can beat up Demetrius? Yeah,
I'm just saying,
no offense,
just,
buddy. I'm sure you're a tough motherfucker, but you
it's
can't.
It's just the way he feels, though, and I get it. I totally get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. I'm trying. And, you know, after tonight, though, he did say, damn, that move was cool. I don't know if I'll – he's like, the finish was cool. I don't know if I'm going to pay for it. I still won't pay for one of his fights. I was like, yeah, but maybe one day. He said maybe because that was cool. So, you know, stuff like that. You know,
then he doesn't like mixed martial arts. He doesn't like finishes. He doesn't like dominance. What
well,
does he
it's
like?
It's not just him, man. It's just the casual fan. Honestly, let's be honest.
I know.
They want to see the bigger fighters.
Example,
and even in boxing, even in pro wrestling, which is what UFC kind of, even though it's not fake, it modeled its business after. The bigger fighters sell. I mean, it's just the business, man.
In pro wrestling, everybody gets to be huge. I mean, everybody is my height and fucking on steroids. So, yeah, that's more fun to see these larger than life, fucking giant human.
Yeah, but see, in MMA, everybody's not your height, but they're still on steroids. So,
no, yeah, but this is the thing that gets me, man. Is okay, Demetrius Johnson is probably a little bit bigger than my 13-year-old who just turned 13 this Wednesday. Happy birthday, Aiden! But
happy birthday.
But the thing is I'm 225-pound, 6'4" man. I'm not an idiot. I can scrap. I can street fight. I've been in brawls and bar fights and whatnot. I'm not a big, tough guy, but I've fought. Demetrius will beat the brakes off me in a heartbeat. I can appreciate and respect that. And if you can't, then I'm not trying to be a dick, but you're fucking ignorant and stupid. And I know it's kind of being redundant, but you are. Because you're missing out on somebody who has skill and technique. And one of the things that people don't like about, you know, smaller boxers like a Lemachenko or some of these 125-pound, you know, boxers is they don't finish, right? It's harder to knock somebody out at that size. It's harder to finish fights when you're that small. And that's the heavyweights. They finish people. Demetrius Johnson finishes people. What is it? Is it because you're dumb and you actually think that you could stand fucking 10 seconds in a ring with that guy because you're twice his size? It's just pure ignorance, man.
Well, no, they respect the skill. They respect the skill. They just don't.
I don't think that they fucking do.
So
that's stupid because the size has nothing to do with anything. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm a big guy and I take fucking offense to that. Like, that's just dumb as shit.
He has. Why don't you stop being a snowflake about it, okay, man?
I'm hurt here. No, I don't know, man. It's just it gets me because even fucking Dana White uses that as leverage against Demetrius. It's like, well, people.
Well, Dana White sure seemed very excited and happy about it tonight.
Yeah, so he did because he just realized that that move was going to go viral and the UFC was going to be attached to it. And again, I have nothing against Dana, and I've, you know, sing his praise where it's due on this podcast. But it's just like, come on, dude. Look, if you don't enjoy watching Demetrius Johnson fight, you don't enjoy skilled MMA. I'm done with it. I have no more debate with you. If you want to say, well, yeah, because he's small, okay. Do you enjoy a guy who knows how to, you know, move from transition to transition, who can anticipate every opponent's move? Let's take the size out of it. Let's talk about the, you know, this is what pisses me off about quote unquote snowflakes and Antifa people. We can get into politics all day long, but you're looking at his size. Take his size out of it and look at what he actually does to every single one of his opponents. How he dominates them. How he takes grapplers with some of the greatest BJJ guys in the world like Wilson Hayes and he submits them. How he takes guys like Ray Borg, great fighters, great dominance, great chin, great persistence, and he dominates them. Ray Borg had his back and was up on him. He sloughed him off like he was taking off his book bag after
amazing.
A long day of
school.
That was
amazing.
Turns around into his guard and steps over and a half. And he just, look, dude, take his size out of it. Take his size out of it. If he was 215 pounds and did the exact same shit, everyone would be like jocking him everywhere. But because he's 125 pounds, it's not good to watch. Fuck you. You're stupid. The guy is skilled and talented beyond all recognition. You're just a fucking dumb, ignorant idiot. No offense to Robert's friend. I'm sure you're a great guy and we'll have beers together. But fucking dude, let's sit down and have a conversation about this. And I can change your mind. All right. I feel better.
I don't know. I don't know about the conversation after that rant. But no, I agree. I agree. I mean, I get the casual fan. No, like I was saying, I'm sure a lot of people respect his skills, but they just have a hard time buying the fights with him on it. And maybe it's not even just his size. Maybe it's the fact that he is so dominant. I get
See, that
it.
I can
sucks.
Understand.
I get
that
it.
I can
it
understand.
Sucks, but it's, you know, he is the GOAT. He is the best. You take his fighting skills, put him in somebody that weighs any different weight whatsoever, he's going to win. It's just that's just the way it is. To me, that's how pound for pound is measured. He is the pound for pound best, the GOAT, greatest of all time. No argument. I'm sorry. You cannot even
pound
come to me
goat.
With an argument.
Pound for pound GOAT. He's the GOAT, and he's the pound for pound GOAT.
Yeah. You can't even – yeah. Anybody wants to try to come with an argument, I don't want to hear it. You're wrong. Sorry. Because the last
you
time somebody came
me
with me for an
MMA
argument
to the
about
Max
it
Joe.
With John Jones and John –
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jones came out and did what he did to DC. For a split second, I, just to appease some people that are arguing, I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe John Jones is the GOAT because of what he just did to Daniel Cormier. But then he tested positive for PEDs. So you know what?
Sure.
No. Demetrius Johnson is the best fighter of all time. Technique-wise, speed-wise, talent-wise, there's just no argument. You cannot argue otherwise. If you want to tell me otherwise, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear it. He's the GOAT.
Take John Jones' PEDs out of it. Let's just say he didn't test for PEDs. I think he's a very close number two to Demetrius Johnson. I think he's a phenomenal fighter, but I think he's a close number two.
So if he didn't test for PEDs, and then Demetrius Johnson went out and looked the way he did against Ray Borg tonight and finished that, yeah, he's
a close number two.
He'd still be number two. Mighty Mouse would still be number one.
Yeah, and in my mind, I'm gonna give fucking props to DC. In my mind, DC is number three.
He's got to be at this point.
See, the thing is, I don't know. I'm worked up tonight. You know, I'm not.
Nah,
as
don't get too worked up, man. We
after
Maymac. I've been on that podcast.
Not after Maymac, but I'm just like, people don't give DC the love that he deserves, man. That man deserves a mad amount of love. He only has lost to John Jones, arguably the number two pound for pound guy who has tested positive for steroids and estrogen blockers. You know, I don't give a shit about the cocaine stuff because that's not a performance enhancer. So he's, you know, the estrogen blockers means you're coming off a cycle. The steroid that T-ball he got popped for means he was probably taking something else and got a bad batch that had T-ball in it. Whatever that shit was. That's the only guy he loses to. And he beat up heavyweights like fucking Barnett, like Frank Mir. I mean, dude, DC, you need to fucking follow this show because I am a fan of yours.
Yeah, I'm a fan of DC, and we said this on a previous episode before that the reason why a lot of people don't like DC is because, to borrow a professional wrestling term, he's a mark.
Yeah, but
and a lot of people don't like that
for some
reason.
He's a mark, but he's not a mark, dude, because he's an ass whipper.
Yeah, but he's a mark, and he's also a mark for pro wrestling. He's a pro wrestling fan.
I know. I still like him.
I do too.
I still like Barnett.
I think he's great. I think he's a great guy, and I'd love to have a beer with DC. That's for damn sure.
That would be such a good time.
But let's jump real quick from the GOAT of all time, the GOAT, greatest of all time, and talk about a guy who might just be the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Fabricio Verdum.
Yes, Fabricio Verdum. In my mind right now, he is the best heavyweight of all time. I just his resume speaks for itself. I know a lot of people are going to say Fedor. Unfortunately,
nope.
Fabricio tapped him out, and they could say, oh, well, he wasn't in his prime. Yes, he was, because that was his first legitimate loss. So
he was in his prime. He just wasn't in Japan where testing
exactly.
is quote-unquote
Well, he just got caught by the greatest jiu-jitsu practitioner in the heavyweight division of MMA.
Thank That's you. I wanted to take umbrage with you for something, and I finally got a chance to. So continue your rant so I can take my umbrage.
I don't know what type of... What, are you trying to throw my big words back at me?
Yeah, you like that?
I'm surprised you remember what was even said that night.
Oh, unfortunately, unfortunately, I listened to that podcast, and your umbrages were accurately umbraged in my obnoxiousness.
I'm surprised you even remember any word list. I couldn't even listen to that podcast, dude. It was so irritating.
It took me like 4 days.
And it's not even
days.
Just on your side. It was my side, too. I'm surprised you listened to like that much of it to even remember that I used that word.
It was all on my side, brother. I take full responsibility. But your argument that Verdum is the best submission artist in heavyweight division.
What, you going to say Frank Mir?
Yeah, I'm going to teeter that line. I mean, I love Verdum. Give me one more from Verdum from a high-level jiu-jitsu guy, another high-level guy, then I'll take it. Because Frank Mir, submission of Nogueira, was kind of what's sealing the deal for me, because Nogueira is a legitimate high-level, high-skilled. He was once deemed to be the number one jiu-jitsu guy in the world, let alone heavyweight jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Granted, out of his prime, not in pride, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm just a Frank Mir guy. I can't wait to see him fight in Bellator. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I think just off based off accolades, Fabricio has the accolades over Frank Mir. Frank Mir might be the best submission artist in the heavyweight division in UFC history, but in MMA history,
Frank Mir's
he's fought in the UFC all but two of his fights, so we can't really say that he's like the best in MMA completely. But Fabricio Verdum's been all over the place, so
yeah, I don't want to. That's why I'm not trying to nail this point home like I did for the last 15 minutes ranting on people who don't appreciate DJ. But no, I can see your argument, and I can even step far as back and say, hey, I concede. If I really want, if I'm going to admit the same thing as you, I want to see another submission of another high-level fighter. Let's even take another high-level jiu-jitsu guy out of there. If he can submit his next fighter, then I'll jump on your train and I'll preach what you're preaching. But until
Walt Harris is definitely not a high-level fighter, but he was about to fight Derek Lewis, who I don't think is that high-level, but he was going to be ranked in the top 10. I think Verdum was going to submit him. Maybe even just as quick as he submitted Walt Harris. Major props to Walt Harris for stepping in on basically the same day notice.
Yeah, I would have done the same. We all would have done the same thing. You're preparing to fight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Still got a chance to fight
on the pay-per-view card. Yeah, and you're going to get paid, dude. Yeah, but Matt, props, because you know Verdum's a dangerous mofo.
Yeah, but like DC said, man, there are levels to this shit.
That's what Rogan always says too. Yeah. When there's levels, there's, and
unfortunately,
like,
Walt Harris, who I think is a stud, I think he's actually better than his now, as of right now, 10-6 record. I think he's better than that. He wasn't at that level of Fabricio Verdum. But major props. Thanks for stepping up, man. Because I know Verdum needed to get a fight. He wanted to get a win after that close loss to Alistair Overeem. Congratulations, man. Hey, you stepped up. You got on the pay-per-view card. Didn't work out for you. Still, I don't think anybody's going to lose respect for a Walt Harris.
Do you think that this win puts Verdum right back in the title picture and then that conversation? Or do you think he's got to get a win against a ranked fighter? Does he still need one more fight to be talked about?
Well, let's be clear here. Fabricio Verdum never left the title picture. So he never left it. I'm sorry. He lost his title. He beat Travis Brown. He lost over him in a close fight. He never lost the title. He never left the title picture. Does this give him?
So who's next for Stipe?
Does this win give him the claim to the next title shot? No. He's still behind Alistair Overeem in my mind.
Overeem gets another title shot.
What's up?
Overeem gets the next title shot.
If they're not going to do well, no. Overeem's probably going to get knocked out by Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, say if Ngannou wins, then Ngannou gets it. If Overeem wins, then Overeem gets it.
Yeah, the winner of that fight is getting the next title shot for sure.
And you know what? Overeem...
Verdum can do Cain Velasquez too. That's what he can do.
Cain Velasquez is probably not going to fight again.
Well, if he does. If he doesn't, then Verdum could do... I don't know. He could do Junior Dos Santos fucking too.
And he'll be Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah.
He's the second best heavyweight right now. Because the belt is with Miocic.
Who? And Verdum?
Verdum, for sure.
No. Alistair Overeem is the second best heavyweight right now.
I don't think that he won that fight, but still.
I think he won that fight. I think Verdum gave him that fight because he was an idiot.
I love Overeem, but he's too chinny.
But it doesn't matter. Overeem won the fight.
Yeah, but he's too chinny, and he's gonna go nighty night 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 when he freaking gets in that octagon with I want to say Ngannou. He's gonna put him to sleep. And again,
if he fights the same way he fought against Junior Dos Santos, Overeem can win that fight. I don't think Overeem's gonna win that fight, but he can win that fight.
Okay, let's look at what kind of striker is Ngannou. Is he a pressure striker or is he a counter striker?
Throughout his entire career, he's a pressure striker so far in the UFC, at least.
Okay, so the way Overeem's been fighting, and he's been trying to use his footwork and his jab, and he's been staying on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if he can do that and not clip Ngannou and jump in, if he can be patient, the way he fought JDS the last time, the way he fought Verdum, he stands a chance. But the problem is if Ngannou just glances your chin, you're sleeping.
Well, yeah, I agree, but that doesn't change the fact that Overeem is the second best heavyweight in the UFC right now. I think Verdum is. That,
yeah, I
Verdum's above him is just an opinion piece at that point. I'm sorry.
Well, you're gonna judge these rankings as though they're accurate. I think accurately it is
Stipe. It is Stipe, Overeem, Verdum, Cain Velasquez because he's injured, but I still got to put him in
Cain
there.
Cain Velasquez, he hasn't fought.
Still
got to
put him in there, and then Francis Ngannou.
I got kids that are talking to me that don't even know who Cain Velasquez is. That guy hasn't fought in lifetimes.
Yeah, but when he comes back, he's the best.
I agree with you. There's nobody better heavyweight than Cain Velasquez. He's got the cardio of a middleweight, the skills of a lightweight, and the punching power of a heavyweight. But you only get to see he's like an eclipse. You only get to see that wonderful, beautiful thing every 44 years. He's done. I love him. I want to see him fight again. But again, I don't hang on to lost causes like that, man. He hasn't fought in 2 fucking years.
Yeah, but I still got to keep him in my rankings because I am going to hang on to that lost cause, as you say it. Like I said, I'm biased for the AKA, so.
No, I get it, dude. I get it. I like him a lot. I love him. I want him to come back and fight, but.
Yeah. Unless we want to talk about fucking the greatest heavyweight of all time, Brock Lesnar. But I kid.
Huh?
I kid.
Oh, okay. I was about to slap my mic and it was you.
All right, let's talk real quick about one of the fights on the preliminary card of the FX.
The fight of the night,
Lando Venata, who is making a habit of getting these bonuses.
Fuck, dude, that guy is scary fun.
Taking a split draw with Bobby Green. Bobby King Green of Fontana, California. Super close to both of us, so I kind of do have a soft spot for Bobby Green.
I'm a fan of his cousin Bobby Brown too.
What a great fight! Yeah.
No, dude, for real, man. Venata has this way of putting on a fight, and Bobby Green is trying to come back and mount who he is and get his what is that shit that
he's trying to get his swagger back, man.
Swagger back. I was looking for the thing from Austin Powers that he lost in that one fight.
Oh, it's mojo. He's trying to get his mojo
back. Trying to get his mojo back.
He's trying to be like Stella and get that groove back.
That's right. He gets groove, his mojo. He's trying to get it all back. And even though he didn't win tonight, I think he got it back. And I'm happy to see that
because
he
is a
fun fighter. Fuck, he and Venata were both happy they're both happy with that draw.
Which I don't get because if I was Bobby Green, I'd be a little upset. I scored it 29-27 for Bobby Green.
How did you get Bobby Green 29?
Because I gave Bobby Green 2 and 3.
Okay, I gotcha.
I gave Bobby Green 2 and 3.
It was a 10-8. The first round was a 10-8.
I don't see it as... Well, yeah, no, it was a...
He got fucked up.
Well, no, it would be... I wouldn't see it as a 10-8, especially if the fact that Lando... I had a 10-9 for Lando, when Lando got the point taken away. So that was a 9-9. So 29-27, and 29-27 for Bobby Green is how I scored it.
That was a 9-8.
Now 28-28 is how another judge scored it, and I could see that as a draw. But how one judge scored it, 29-27 for Lando, meaning they gave that judge gave Lando all three rounds. Right. Go fuck yourself.
That was 28-28. I saw it as a I'm going to say a 10-8 round or a 9-8 round in the first round, because if it wasn't for that illegal thigh. Let's be honest, it was a thigh.
It was thrown with the tent.
I agree with you. We were texting during the fight. I said, I agree with the deduction. Herb Dean gave him a deduction because it was blatant and it was obvious.
He saw it too. He knew it. He was like, fuck.
So I agree with that deduction, but that was a 10-8 or a 9-8 round. And so I agree with the 28-28 decision. It was a draw. That's how I saw it. Bobby Green just kept turning up the pace, dude, and I was like, dude, I want two more rounds of this fight. Bobby Green was getting his mojo was coming and coming. He was getting better and he was picking him apart. He was, dude, and Venata is like not a guy you can piece up. You know, his head movement was a little bit lacking. He was getting popped with that straight left or that straight right because they're both southpaws. But I don't know, man. It was a fun fight. I wish we had two more rounds of that fight.
It was one of the better fights. It was one of the better fights in recent times, at least recent memory.
But I just
cannot get over the fact that one judge gave Lando Venata all three rounds. You just cannot give him that third round, at least. At minimum, that was Bobby Green's round.
Adelaide Byrd was taking like a couple months off, and I guess she came back tonight. I don't know.
it was disgusting, man.
That was bad. And so was my joke. I apologize. I really wanted that to hit home, but it wasn't very good.
What, the Adelaide Byrd joke?
Yeah, I tried.
No, it was a good joke because Adelaide Byrd, that name itself is a joke. So,
yeah. She was the one that scored the Triple G Canelo fight. With Canelo winning, eight out of the fucking 12 rounds when the absolute best you could give him was six. The best you could do if you were like kind of squinted and half blind is six and six.
Triple G won that fucking fight. I don't care what anybody says. That was ridiculous.
Off of Canelo.
That was ridiculous.
It was a fun fight, but he beat the brakes off of
Canelo.
Adelaide
Byrd was suspended, so congratulations, Nevada State Athletic Commission. You actually did something right.
Cheers. Lifetime ban to her. I guess she didn't run away.
I wish it was a lifetime ban. Jesus. But switching from Nevada State Athletic Commission, let's jump real quick. You know, I think we really just covered the UFC 216. I mean, yeah, there were fights on the prelims. What, John Moraga stopped the Magomed Bibilatov hype train with a knockout?
I didn't see that one coming, dude.
I didn't see that. I thought Bibilatov was going to continue that 14-0 undefeated streak into 15-0. But hey, Moraga, he just showed why he's a former champion, former title challenger. Matt Schnell defeats Marco Beltran by unanimous decision. I agreed with the decision 29-28. I didn't agree with the 230-27s he got.
Pollyanna
Botello defeated Pearl Gonzalez because Pearl Gonzalez had the worst strategy I've seen in the women's strawweight division.
What is that? Is that attempt a double leg with your shoulder in her hip for 5 minutes?
It was horrible. I was talking to our good friend Shorty Torres, who is a good friend of Pearl Gonzalez. I was like, dude, what happened? He said, I don't know, dude. She fought horribly. So
she didn't want to strike.
He said it has
said
something to do with the camp and coaches. So
she might didn't want to strike with her.
Yeah, maybe she needs to go start training with some champions like Jose Shorty Torres. I mean, they're friends, but go start training with the man.
Yeah, I expected so much more for her, but she just was trying to work for those takedowns. And when they were on the feet, it wasn't like she was completely outmatched. Like, Botello, she's got great stand-up.
She wasn't outmatched, man. In the beginning of the fight, she was winning because she was using her range. And all of a sudden, she decides to stop using her range and jump in there and try to clinch and go for takedowns. But she was trying to go for takedowns against a Nova Nunez fighter.
It just made no sense, dude.
What kind of coach tells your fighter to just go for the clinch and takedown against a Nova Nunez fighter? I'm sorry. That is the dumbest strategy I've ever heard.
And just hold her against the cage and not reposition and just
and
not
for anybody
work
that doesn't
it
know,
out.
Nova Nunez is Henan Moral, Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't take these people down.
No, their takedown defense is second to none.
Unless you're Aljamain Sterling and you wait for Henan Moral to gas. Let's just leave that at that. But
he did a good job and he timed his takedowns and all that stuff when Henan Moral was moving forward.
That's a shell of Henan Moral, though.
No, it's I love Henan Moral, but TJ has his soul hidden in a jar somewhere in his house.
Aljamain's not that good.
But it doesn't matter because TJ owns his soul. So it doesn't matter what happens. He ain't getting his soul
good
back.
Good point. And then
TJ, Benil Dariush, when are you coming on this show?
Benil Dariush and Evan Dunham fight to a majority draw. That was a damn good fight. Very damn good fight. First fight on the pay-per-view card, great fight. Evan Dunham, man, love that guy. Evan Dunham is the type of guy, when somebody says, that's a man's man right there, that's Evan Dunham. That guy has heart.
And he's a good fighter. I picked Dariush. I wanted him to win. He's a Southern California boy out of fighting out of Yorba Linda.
By way of Iran?
Yeah, Tehran, Iran, right? Somewhere around that area. But and on that note, I like his post-fight interview, which we'll get into a little bit later. We were going to have our thoughts on the...
We'll get to that.
The incidents that took place in Vegas last weekend. But, yeah, man, it just proved why I like him, not just as a fighter, but as a person. He's a good guy. He's a great fighter. He took some risk. I think he gassed himself trying to go for the finish in the first round. But it was a fun fight, man, and Dunham proved his worth in the UFC once again. Like, he puts on good fights. He's a talented fighter, and it was
phenomenal. Dunham's one of those guys that was it just seemed ever since he got robbed in that Sean Sherk fight that he kind of just lost it for a little while, and ever since then he's been on a roll, and he just took the number 12 ranked fighter. I think Dariush might be a little too low in that ranking in my mind. Yeah. I think he's definitely a top 10 fighter easily.
I agree.
But he took him to a draw. He lost that first round by far, easily 10-8 in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think he might have taken those the second and third round. On that note, I just want to point out that even though the state of Nevada has yet to adopt the new unified rules of mixed martial arts, which I fucking hate.
So stupid.
Word going around was the judges were instructed and were at least doing so to score the fights as if they were scoring on the new rules. So
I agree. It looked as though they were, if you ask me, the 10-8s that were given.
Mm-hmm.
It looks as though they were scoring it. They weren't the referees, in the octagon. You know, there was never an incident where it was like iffy as far as some of the rule changes, but as far as the way they were judging it, it looked as though they were judging it for the new rules.
Yeah, that's so what it looked like.
I was happy with that.
Yeah, so they didn't adopt, it looked like basically what it looked like was they didn't adopt the in cage rules, the new in cage rules, but the new judging criteria was adopted.
Because Gonzalez would have won the fight.
Apparently.
Yeah, Gonzalez probably would have won the fight under the old rules against Botello.
Well, that's debatable because that was that.
It's debatable, but she was controlling. But she was again. Nothing against Jake Shields. I do think you're a phenomenal fighter, but she was Jake Shields-ing. She was working for position. She was working for takedowns, and she was dominating where the fight took place.
Well, because I don't think she wanted Shields is a phenomenal fighter. I think he's a phenomenal performer,
wrestler, performer. Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to discredit him, but he's known as like the dry humper. You know, he and I won't say GSP is the biggest dry humper because he does get you down, and so does Jake Shields. But whatever. Long story short, maybe I'm not being nice to Jake Shields, but the old scoring system, I think Gonzalez might have won that
fight. Nobody should be nice to Jake Shields.
He's part of the scrap pack, dude. They're scared.
Yeah, yeah.
209, son.
He's the scrap pack's adopted redheaded stepchild. So
yeah, because he doesn't scrap, but he's in a pack. But no, so that was one of the things that I was curious about is how they were going to score that fight, because Gonzalez, I think, would have won because she did control where the fight was taking place. Even though while she controlled it, she was taking elbows and punches to the face for 5 minutes, she could control them up against the cage. But either way, that's – yeah, I think that they were instructed and did it. So, sorry. Let's go through the rest of the fights.
No, that's good. I think pretty sure we covered UFC 216 for the most part.
Yeah.
We're going to be nearing the end of this podcast, but before we do, I want to talk about what happened on Friday night.
Yes, sir.
That would be last night. Bellator 184 – Eduardo Dantas defending his bantamweight championship against Darian Caldwell. Great show overall, man. Seriously, great show. From the preliminaries on Spike.com to the main card on Spike. Damn good show. Leandro Higo and Joe Tiamangelo. I can never get this guy's name. I can seriously never get this guy's name right. It's always like a tongue twister for me. So
yeah, it's not an easy one to say.
Yeah, unanimous decision. I gave him all three rounds. It was a very, very entertaining fight. I think it's really, really kind of fucked up how Joe got kind of screwed over after the Darian Caldwell fight that he had. He submitted him with a guillotine choke in the third round, the first time they fought. And because Bellator wasn't very happy about it, they booked an immediate rematch.
Yeah, that doesn't work for our narrative. Redo!
Yeah, especially when it's a finish like that. Then again, to be fair, Caldwell was winning that fight up until that, if anybody never hasn't seen it. Caldwell wins the rematch by unanimous decision. Pretty dominant. Gets the title fight against Eduardo Dantas.
Caldwell looked so good, so confident in his stand-up and his takedowns and his scrambles. That guy looked phenomenal. I see him holding that bantamweight belt for a little while.
No, he looked great, except for the third and fourth round.
Well, he had a little bit of a gas tank issue, but if he puts in some road work, I think it's going to be Dunsky's for anyone else who plays
Caldwell
with him.
Caldwell looked great. He won the first two rounds in my mind, and I think in your mind as well. We talked about it. Yeah. I thought he lost the third and the fourth round, so I think we both had it 2-2 going into the fifth round. 2-2
going into the fifth round, yep.
And Caldwell pulls it out in the fifth. He took over. He wins that round. He wins the fight. He wins the title. One judge gave Darian Caldwell 50-45, gave him all five rounds. How is that fucking possible?
Yeah, right?
Like, you can argue Caldwell getting the fourth. There's no way he got the third. Not a chance. It's just MMA judging, man. And this isn't from an athletic commission, because I believe this was on an Indian reservation. So they have their own commission. What the hell fight were they watching? It drives me nuts, because judging like this, everybody wants to talk about boxing being corrupt. And it's fine. We all believe it's corrupt. We've all seen the corruption in boxing. But they're making scores like they do because they're purposely doing it. They're not idiots. That's the difference.
Yeah, the MMA judging are just idiots.
Yeah, it's just ignorance on MMA judging. Like, it drives me nuts when I see scores like that, man. It drives me nuts. You got two judges saying 48-47, completely 100% correct scores.
I agree with 48-47.
One judge just sits there 50-45. Like, yeah, what the fuck? Why not? Like, what the hell are you watching?
They showed up for the fifth round and said, okay, this guy won, so I'll give him all the rounds.
It's got to be something, and it's disgusting, and it's going to continue to hurt the sport of MMA.
Yeah, but I think it's going to get there. I don't want to – it's such a young sport. That's what they say, but it is a young sport, and you got all these old people judging the fights. It's not like you and I who grew up watching the fights and who have been involved in watching the sport, you know, mature and develop and grow, so we understand these different ways to, you know – to give credit to passes and to sweeps. And it's like, okay, you might have taken me down, but I swept you. And I got back on my feet, or I swept you, and now I got top position like that. You took me down. Credit, but I swept you. So now we're negated instead of giving all the credit to the takedowns. You know what I mean? Like, sweeps are important, or getting taken down and scrambling back to your feet. Okay, you took me down, but I got back to my feet. What'd your takedown do? Nothing. Wasted your energy. I'm on my feet now. It's negated. It's 0-0. You know what I mean? I don't think that all the judges see that yet, but I think they're starting to. So it just take a little bit more time. As long as the corruption can stay away, I think it'll be just fine.
Yeah, but unfortunately, here's the problem. And I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's a young sport still, but now they have an old sport that they can draw comparisons to. And it's the same it's the same type of judging. It really is. It's a 10-8 scoring round. So unfortunately, it's going to be unjustly compared to boxing judging, and that's going to hurt the sport. It really is. So
yeah, but you know, we'll get there. We'll get there as a sport. Our sport is the best combat sport on earth.
Most definitely is.
Just
McGregor versus Mayweather be damned.
Yeah, that was a freak show, and it was fun. But just a heads up, I finally got to load here the performance bonuses of the night.
Shoot them.
DJ and Morgada, performance of the night. Take a guess on fight of the night.
Tell me they gave... you know, it's the UFC. I'm going to say they gave it to Ferguson and Lee.
Green Venata.
Oh, they actually got it right.
Yeah, they did it right.
Yeah, good job. Fantastic.
Yeah, Yeah, all three of those gentlemen, not to mention everybody else who fought, deserve it.
Yeah, congratulations, Mighty Mouse. Yeah. Congratulations, John Moraga. Congratulations, Bobby Green, Land of Vanada. Jesus, that was the fight of the night.
An extra $50,000 in your pocket to take home. That's great. Good for you guys. You deserved it. Green and Vanada, I'm sure you took years off of your life in that fight. And
oh, so good.
$50,000 isn't enough to repay what you did, but good God, man, it was fun to see it. You guys put on a hell of a show. I need to see if Vanada gets some wins in the UFC, man. He's such a good fucking fighter.
Yeah, I think now he's 1-2-1 in the UFC. So he lost to Ferguson on short notice. He beat Canadian John McDessie, knocked him out by spinning heel kick. Then he lost to David Tamir, and then now he just drew with Bobby Green. Speaking of bonuses, fight night bonuses. Next week. I'm sorry, take that back. 2 weeks from now. Donald Cerrone, Darren Till, main event. Wow.
I love me some Cerrone, man. I was telling my wife, we were watching the preview for that fight. I'm like, there's only one cowboy that I like because I'm a punk rock kid. I'm not a cowboy. I don't like country music. Nothing about it.
I figured you would have told her Rhinestone Cowboy, but that's just me.
The only cowboy I like is Cerrone. I love that man. Back in the WEC days, I just fell in love with his pressure, his fighting style, what he does. He's just a great fucking fighter.
It's just a shame he's such an underachiever. That's the problem.
Darren Till scares me for him, dude. That kid is dangerously good.
Darren Till wins this fight. I'm putting that right now.
This is where it's sad. I don't want him to because I love Cowboy so much. But Darren Till needs to because he's the future of the lightweight division.
He's not just the future. Or welterweight division. He's not just the future.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, welterweight division. Yeah,
he's the present. Darren Till is going to put hands on Donald Cerrone the way Jorge Masvidal did, and that saddens me as a fan of Cerrone, but it excites me as a fan of Darren Till. He's going to put hands on him like Masvidal did. Darren Till is going to finish Donald Cerrone.
I think so. I think
he might
think
send Cerrone back to the lightweight division.
No, he's not going back to lightweight. That weight cut was too much, dude. He's going to make his name off of Cerrone, unfortunately. But it is what it is, man. I love you. I love you, Cowboy. Keep fighting. Keep doing what you do. But this kid, this nobody, this guy, this name you don't know, this person nobody knows about, as Brandon Schaub mentioned, is someone we're all going to know about real soon. The kid is dangerously good. It's a free fight.
It is a free fight.
Don't miss it. If you listen
please,
to this
people,
fucking
podcast.
Please,
people, do not miss this fight. Watch this fight.
If you listen to this podcast, TiVo, it set it up to record. Do not miss this fight. This is fireworks, man.
This fight's going to be ridiculous. Because A, it's Donald Cerrone. And B, it's Darren Till.
And they're fighting each other.
Yeah, Darren
not
Till
on the same
is a beast.
Each other. Dude, he's a name you may not know, but you should. If you're not a hardcore fan, or you are, but you're just not sure who Darren Till is, look up a couple of highlight videos of what this guy does. See, how do I put this? He has the same disregard for your health as Mike Perry does, but
just more technically sound.
Yeah, he's not so much like an atom bomb. He's more like a gut missile. Like he hits his targets with like precision and accuracy, and he's more like, I'm gonna hit you right here on your chin, compared to like a Mike Perry who's just gonna beat the shit out of you. Both of those guys have no regard for your health or well-being at all. Darren Till does not care if you walk tomorrow after we fight. It's not his concern. You signed on the paper. You knew what you were getting into. He's not a bad man.
But that would be a good fight after Till beats Cerrone. My mind is Till and Mike Perry. That would be fun.
I'm just trying to do Maynard's job and Shelby's job once again. Okay, gentlemen, you're welcome.
One other fight I want to spotlight real quick on this card in 2 weeks is the greatest of all time, Artem Lobov versus Andre Fili.
Who?
I'm just kidding. Fuck all you people that actually want to call Artem Lobov the fucking goat, even as a joke. Stop it. I just wanted to bring that up just to say that. So
people have actually said that. He's the greatest what of all time. He's not the greatest fighter of all time. The greatest guy to keep himself relevant for no fucking reason of all time, perhaps.
Well, these are there's some people out there that are like calling Volkan Ozdemir the GOAT, and I get it. Ozdemir's been knocking people out. Stop. Please stop.
How is he the GOAT?
There's just people just want to fucking... Some people just want to latch onto anything just so they can just do it for fun. It's ridiculous. It's trolling. It's MMA trolling. So
No. The part of the term GOAT, greatest of all time. Ozdemir is a good fighter, but there's no time at the highest level of MMA.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
I liked it. I see what you did there. Very nice.
That was good. Hi.
Mr. Hudson, Mr. Riverside Joe.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you plug your social media here?
Well, before we get into that a little bit, before we start closing the show out, I don't know if we wanted to touch base on at least give a moment of silence or a thought to what happened in Vegas this weekend.
Classy. Absolutely. Yeah, classy. Appreciate you throwing that back at me. No, classy for sure.
It's something that's definitely been weighing heavy on all of our hearts. Look, man, we've lived in a world that's been too divisive for too long. Everybody pointing fingers at everybody else, saying that the reason that I'm not happy is because of what you've done. And I don't know what this fucking psychopathic evil person's intents or reasons were behind what he did on Sunday. Again, as I mentioned before, I'm not a fan of country music, but I'm sure as shit not going to fucking hurt somebody or kill somebody because that crappy sound that's going on outside my room. I just want to take this time and like the UFC, a lot of the fighters and the show was reflecting back on one thing and bringing Everlast out there to sing America Beautiful. We're Americans. When it all boils down to it, we're all on the same patch of fucking earth. We're all united to be better people and to bring something better for our children and our children's children. We're not here to fight. We're not here to kill. We're not here to do anything but think about what's next.
To cut you off on that real quick, it's not just that we're all Americans. We're humans.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yep.
Yeah, we're all human beings. And what happened in Las Vegas this last weekend was a complete tragedy. And me, myself, I do make jokes about stuff like that, about tragedy online. You might have seen it. It's just the way I cope with tragedy. But the podcast right now, the show right now, we're going to take a moment of silence for the lives that were lost and the people that were hurt. So bear with us here. We're just going to take a moment of silence to remember those that were lost in that horrible tragedy. All right, thank you. So,
yep.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up, Joe. Appreciate that, man. Yeah, definitely needed to be done. All right, plug your social media now, man.
Yeah, we'll get back to the social media. Thanks for everyone who followed. I'm trying to pick up my game. As you saw tonight, I was a little bit more active on my Twitter and Instagram account. On Twitter, you can follow me at JoeHud45. Or you can follow me on Instagram at MMA to the Max Joe. That's where you're going to find most of my posts and most of my fun stuff because that seems to be the place where you guys like to interact the most. Robert, how about you?
You mean people like to interact with you? Is that what you're saying?
Seems a little bit, dude. I got a bunch of likes on my posts and stuff, you know? So it's pretty cool. People do like me, I guess. They don't know me. That's probably why.
That makes sense. Anyways, if you want to find me on Twitter on my personal account, it's at it's Rock Robster, no apostrophe. Obviously, Twitter doesn't allow it. Find me on Instagram at MMA to the Max Rob. It's usually where I post all of my movie memes and everything to help promote the show. You might have seen it; they're pretty good, if I do say so myself. Find the show on Twitter at MMA to the Max Show. It's the best I could do for that Twitter feed. And as always, follow us on Facebook at MMA to the Max Podcast. That is facebook.com/MMA to the Max Podcast. As always, the number 2 is in place of the word 2 on all of these. And if you have trouble finding us anywhere, just go to w2mnet.com, our parent site. Click on podcast, look for MMA to the Max. You can find us there as every single one of our episodes. Look for us on any type of network that hosts podcasts, be it Spreaker, Stitcher, Player FM, YouTube, iHeartRadio, anything you can find us on. We are going to be there. Please listen. Please share. It would be awesome. Joe, do you have any parting words for anybody before we got to take off?
I hope to be speaking with you guys next weekend, too. We've got a 20th, what do they call it, reunion for school next year. Yes, I'm that old. But keep your head up, people. We're going to get through all these tumultuous times, and we have this sport to remind us of bliss and combat. And you can fight somebody, and when it's all said and done, you can hug them, too. There's no hate here.
That's right. Hey, well said, well said. And actually, check us next week. We might be having one of our previous guests back on the show, one Jose Shorty Torres, Titan champ, FC champ. Flyweight and Bantamweight champion. That's right, champ, champ.
Champ, champ.
He's got a fight scheduled coming up in December. He's training. He's actually been training out here in Southern California, Indio La Quinta area with Cub Swanson. So we're looking to get him on. It could be either Saturday or Sunday. We'll let you know. I'll give you a heads up. Just follow us on social media. You'll know. On that note, for MMA to the Max, I am your host, Robert Taylor, along with my co-host, Joseph Hudson.
Take all right, care, folks.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.